call the meeting to order of the Public Safety and Crime Prevention Policy and Finance Committee. And I think what we do is start off with a roll call. We've got a roll call. And then we'll take care of the formalities after this, passing on the rules.
Yep.
All right, Chair Tony Cornish.
Here.
Vice Chair Brian Johnson.
Here.
You can just give the team a call today.
Not the staff. Jack Considine. Not a secret. Okay. Representative Dean.
Ray Dean. Present.
All right. Representative Hertas. Representative Hillstrom.
Present.
Representative Howe.
Here.
Representative Lohmer.
Here.
Representative Lucero.
Here.
Representative Neuberger. Representative O'Neill. Representative Quam.
Present.
Representative Rosenthal.
Here.
Representative Schoen. Representative Ward.
That's you. Say here.
Here.
Representative Winkler. And Representative Zerwas.
Here.
Okay, having a quorum, we'll bring the meeting to order and we'll start out, I think, with introductions right around the table. And after the introductions, then we'll get into the rules and the workings and further direction of what we're going to do this year. Representative Zerwas, you want to start it off just telling your name and your district number, anything that you want us to know about you before we begin?
All right. I'm Nick, and I represent 30A, so I have Big Lake Township, the city of Elk River, and a little bit of Otsego. And if you go on the Wayback Machine, prior to my time here, I served 5 years with the Anoka County Sheriff's Office in their Forensic Crime Lab.
And if the page, could you turn up the volume just a little bit for my bad ear? And if you want to tell us a little bit about your background and why you chose to be on the committee, or if you just got stuck on it against your will, no, you don't have to tell us that. your background relation to the committee, if you have any. Okay, Representative Quam.
Thank you, Dwayne Quam. I've got part of Homestead and part of Dodge County.
Representative Lohmer.
Thank you, Chair Cornish. I'm Kathy Lohmer. I'm from the Stillwater area. And I'm really happy to be back on this committee. I served on it last year for the first time, and I'm very glad to be here.
Representative Lucero. Now, if I butcher your name, too, tell me the proper name, because I already called Representative Uglum, Representative Uglum this morning in another committee. So go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have the pronunciation correct. I am very excited to be here. My background, while I've never served as a peace officer, I have a background in law enforcement with a 2-year degree in law enforcement and a 4-year degree in law enforcement with the intention to go to that field, but then I took it in a different direction and went into cybersecurity. So I have a computer security background, which is what I've been doing for over a decade now.
Thank you. Representative Howell.
Yes, Jeff Powell. I represent 13A, which is southeast Stearns County. I spent 27 years in the fire service. Retired fire chief, retired fire marshal, so that's what I bring to this to the table.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chair. I represent 29B, which is Buffalo, Monticello, and Maple Lake and the surrounding townships. And I was on the Judiciary Committee last time and really, really enjoyed it and had an opportunity to tour so many of the specialty courts, and that was a special interest to me because of my background. I have a bachelor's degree in applied psychology with a minor in chemical dependency, and a master's degree in family marital counseling. And so as I learned through the committee many times, such about 85% of the people coming through our courts have either a mental health or chemical dependency issue. And so that's right in my wheelhouse, and I'm always looking for solutions on how we can help people, you know, walk away from that and find healing and hope. And I actually worked at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge for some time, and it's a great program, and I'm looking for solutions for people that are really hurting.
Thank you. Representative Hertaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jerry Hertaz, I represent 33A, which is the western one-third, one-half of Hennepin County. There's 11 cities out there, some along the Crow River Valley. I've spent most of my life trying to avoid interaction with public safety, and successfully so. But actually, I've become interested in reducing recidivism, trying to do what we can do to get people back on track with regard to offenders and violators and mainstream these people, so I have an interest in that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Brian Johnson. I represent House District 32A, which is most of Isani County and northern Chisago County. On this committee, it's my second year on this committee. I very much enjoy this. It's right at home for me. So I have 27 years experience as a peace officer. I got 10 years as a volunteer firefighter, 2 years as an EMT, working on an ambulance. So public safety has been my entire life. And I want to be able to bring some of those experience to this committee to reflect what actually goes on in the field.
Thank you. And we'll go right through the staff at the same time. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm John Walls, fiscal analyst for the committee, and this is my 21st session.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Mike Ballou. I'm the committee administrator.
Members, I'm Representative Cornish, and I'm in the chair, obviously, and my background is in law enforcement, mostly like 32 years. I was a policeman, then a deputy sheriff, and then a game warden. And then I retired, then I came back in as the chief of police and reduced my stress level 50% to come here. And look forward to working with you, and then we'll get into more of the specifics. We'll just take care of the introductions for now, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Simon Gottlieb. I'm the committee legislative assistant. It's my first session. Very excited.
Mr. Chair, members, Jeff Diebel, House Research. I've been here over a decade.
You should think what else you do.
Well, I also cover veterans issues. And I serve in the Army, the J Corps.
Chair, members, I am Becky Pirias, also with Nonpartisan House Research, and I've been here, I think this is my 10th.
I'm Deborah Hillstrom. I represent all the city of Brooklyn Center and parts of Brooklyn Park. I've served in the Public Safety Committee my entire 14 years in the legislature. Previously was the chair of Public Safety Policy, then the chair of Judiciary, and now look forward to working with you, Mr. Chair.
I'm Jack Considine. I'm a freshman legislator from Mankato and Eagle Lake. I was locked up for 28 years in forensic institutions where I worked. I spent 6.5 years at the State Security Hospital for the mentally ill and dangerous, and then went to Blue Earth County, the Sheriff's Department, where I was the counselor and the program director for the jail.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Paul Rosenthal, and I represent, District 41B, which is Southern Edina, Western Bloomington, and portions of Eden Prairie, Minnetonka. I'm very interested in domestic abuse issues and have been on this committee for 3 terms. And the great thing about this committee is always the bipartisan spirit which we seem to be able to work at and get things done for the state.
Thank you.
Representative Dean, I represent District 59B, which, for those of you who don't know, is southern part of South Minneapolis, the majority of downtown, as well as a couple other little neighborhoods on the edge of that. I'm really excited to be on the committee this session. Public safety is something that I work on a lot. My early part of my life, late adolescence, early adulthood, I was a consumer of public safety and the criminal justice system, and I'm excited to hopefully be paving the way to make our community safer.
Good morning. I'm Joanne Ward, represent District 53A, with South Maplewood, South Oakdale, all of Landfall, and the northwest parts of Woodbury. My background is in education, business, and nonprofits, and the nonprofit work was in restorative justice, where I worked before that as a volunteer with the Department of Corrections in the county, working on youth prevention and intervention programs, looking at violence prevention in all its forms, and working especially with youth and rehabilitation programs.
Thank you.
I'm Laura Tapin-Holtz, CDFL Research.
Thank you. Representative Neuberger.
I was hoping to hide. I'm Jim Neuberger, 15B up in Becker. Been an ambulance driver in North Minneapolis for 27 years.
Hey, anybody I missed? All right, everybody, welcome. We're going to have a lot of fun this year. The Public Safety and Crime Prevention Committee is, like Representative Rosenthal said, mostly nonpartisan, except when it comes to some budget matters. We argue about whether fees or taxes or whatever should be increased. We go back and forth a little bit, but otherwise it's pretty good. There's hardly any bills that come through us that aren't controversial, which I like. I enjoy the debate and the controversy. It makes for good legislation. And we don't nip at each other too much, but it's exciting because we deal with courts, cops, criminal law, and sex offenders, and pretty controversial subjects. This year we're probably going to experience some drones, body cameras, license plate readers, then the budget issues. It's interesting because with this, the few people that came in, the judges, they wanted 5% and 5%. The Battered Women's Coalition wanted $10 million. And public defenders want to hire a number of FTEs because of their caseload. And we can see, I think the fiscal analyst has kind of warned me already, that if we granted everybody's request, we would probably eat up our imaginary surplus really fast. Historically, if you figured out and extrapolated it out, if we would got the normal amount of a surplus, if we get it, it wouldn't go very far to satisfy everybody's needs. And the leadership has still probably got to come up with what we're going to do, whether they think we should, just because we got a surplus, should spend it, or if we should put it into reserve and tax cuts. So once we get that direction and get our targets, then the interesting part on the fiscal area will start. Representative Hilstrom and I get along extremely well, and we share some of the same thoughts. We differ on some, but I'm looking forward to working with her on the committee. So you've got a GOP and a DFL lead and chair that actually get along and work together, so that'll help us through a lot of it. And let's see, one thing, if you folks could be on time, that would really be great. Meetings start at 10:15. I'm going to try to start them right on the button. For the new people here, if you don't have a quorum, you can't do much, so it'd be nice if we can get a quorum as soon as possible. This committee will operate a little bit different than some. Some of them you're automatically excused if you're absent. Here, we require that you be here, and if you haven't got a hold of me or the committee staff, then you'll be marked absent and not automatically here. And so if you could just let us know, a phone call, a text, or something. We've got a contact sheet in here with people's name and phone numbers in the folder, and so you can get a hold of us. And I really don't care. It's up to you if you're late. But if you could just, you can always check in towards the end of the meeting, even if you come in at the last minute, or give us a call anytime during the meeting. Just because you aren't here at the start of the meeting doesn't mean you're absent. So when we get into the rules here, I'm not going to read every one, but the most important ones are, let's see here. We always go back and forth in some committees about the deadlines. I think we've worked pretty well in the past where we want the number 7, that's a rather important one, and 6 and 7. If you can get your amendments in writing, provided the committee administrator at least 24 hours prior to the committee meeting, that would be great. Now, in the past, I think we've made exceptions both sides, that if it's not a substantive amendment, that if it's a clerical or something that everybody can agree on, like something going to the consent calendar on the floor, if we agree on it and it's not substantive, no big change or any surprise or trickery or skullduggery, then we will bring it in and change the rule and these rules can be amended at any time. Representative Hilstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for clarification on that rule, is it your intention to hear the bills and then lay them over and then have the amendments when you construct your omnibus bill, or do you plan to send a lot of these policy bills, if they don't cost any money, off on their own to the general register? Just trying to get a sense of when you'd like us to have those amendments ready.
I'd like to do it three ways, but no. Representative Hilstrom, generally thinking, I kind of like omnibus bills. And for those that aren't aware of omnibus bills, I use them that much in committees. I'd like to put together an omnibus bill that's not a lot of controversial stuff in there. And how you do that is you have a meeting, you bring a bill up, and you say you hold it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Whether you have an omnibus policy and finance omnibus policy and omnibus finance, I don't know how we're going to term that yet. Some bills will send straight to the floor if there's no reason to hold them over. So I think that's how we've done it in the past. Some we shot out of here. Generally speaking, it makes both sides a little anxious, depending on who in the majority. If you have a bill that has a financial implication and you don't take care of it and you send it out saying you're going to catch up with the fiscal note later. And so probably the best advice is if you've got a bill that you're going to author, ask for a fiscal note right away and try to have it here. It's not always possible, and we realize that, by the committee hearing, because it makes people a little anxious if you send a bill out not knowing what the fiscal cost is going to be. You can get by with it if you send another committee and you want it back, but the problem is once you let it go, then you don't know what the heck's going to happen to the bill when you send it to somebody else. So that general direction. Somebody had a, you see anything other than that on the rules list? It's pretty standard from year to year.
Mr. Chair, just one more clarification. Uh-huh. At the start of the meeting, do you intend to call the roll orally as you did today, or do you intend to just check members in as they come?
Orally. Yeah, I think that's how I did it last time we were chair, or I was chair, and we did it a roll call every meeting. And then as they come in, then we'll just check them off here. They can wave a hand or something like that. Now, I'll try to hear every bill. I'm pretty blunt about my political intentions, and as Representative Hilstrom has always been up front, some of the bills we'll hear and we'll hold over, possibly with no intention of ever seeing them again in our lives, as a favor to the author to want a hearing and vet the bill, but realizing it's not going anywhere. Other bills we'll just bring up and give an informational hearing with the author's knowledge beforehand that we aren't going to vote on it with his or her bill. We just wanted to hear it. And that happens when there's a real controversial bill sometimes, but the author wants to bring it up the first year and think about it. And generally, I like to hear a number of bills. I have called two authors on bills so far and said, I really don't want to see that come here. and we'll get bills like that from both sides. And there'll be members that forward a bill that... And myself included, that don't know what the implications are, and you can even have your first hearing, and everybody will come out of the woodwork that just hates the bill, and boom, the bill is gone. You know, it was a good hearing, but we'll probably never see another one. And then we'll have really good bills that if we can, on both sides, agree, we'll send it right to the consent calendar. For those of you who don't know the consent, although just about everybody here is a veteran. How many? We got John, or Jack, is a new member, and Representative Lucero. And it's quite a makeup here too. We've got some real conservative and some real left-leaning members here too. So this should be really good, interesting meetings. And so the consent calendar is if we both agree that there's probably no financial cost, or if we have, we've taken care of it, a small one, and everybody loves the bill to death. We'll send it right to the consent calendar, and they can pick them off and pass them. Pretty quickly. So, yeah, go ahead. Representative Kwan, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the odd Wednesday when they do decide to throw in a session, is there an inclination for brevity in order to allow for adequate transport time?
My inclination is always for brevity, and I'll express that too. As long as we got mostly veteran members here, there's some of these things that all of us have heard or experienced before. And so And our testifiers, I'm going to try to do the best I can this year, and Representative Hilster and I have both been chairs where we've had people get up and one after another of the witnesses give the same exact testimony. And so we'll work together and everybody having a voice, and then our agencies coming here in front of us also, rather than get into complete minutia, we'll have more broad overviews, and then if somebody wants to ask a specific question, they can. Generally, what I'm thinking in the fiscal area, just so you folks know, I don't know how much of a surplus we're going to get. That's going to depend a lot on what we spend or what we do, but I'm not going to be a huge favor of brand new programs or expenses. I'm going to look first at satisfying what we have, possible cuts or additions, and taking care of inflationary things first before we branch off on completely new areas and spend new money. But that's just my own thoughts, and we'll talk about each bill as it comes. Anybody have any specific questions about the process as we go through or anything so far or what we're going to be doing? We're going to start out with general overviews, broad overviews, until some bills start to surface that come to our jurisdiction that we want to cover. And we're going to have our fiscal analyst, John Walls, give us unless anybody has any questions right now, will give us a run-through of general items on our budget and areas that we cover.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm just basically going to read you a list of our accounts. There is a spreadsheet that's going to be used as a template in your packets that has a recent history of the general fund spending in those areas. Some, not all, do receive general fund, and also the general fund forecast base for the next couple biennium. So essentially our accounts are made up of, in the judicial area, the Supreme Court, which also includes civil legal services, and civil legal services is charged with providing civil legal assistance to indigent people in civil matters. There are three other agencies that make up the rest of the court system that receive their funding separately. We have the Court of Appeals, the district courts, which make up the 10 judicial districts, and also the tax court. Also in the judicial area is the Guardian Ad Litem Board, which is a small agency that provides advocacy for minors that are caught up in the judicial system. The judicial area also includes the Uniform Laws Commission, which is made up of 10 volunteer members that work with other states to come up with uniform laws, and they bring bills to keep laws uniform across the nation, such as the Uniform Commercial Code and other uniform acts. We also have the Board of Judicial Standards, which is charged with the oversight of judges and also investigates accusations of judicial misconduct. The judicial area also includes the Public Defense Board, which provides low-income people with legal representation in criminal cases throughout the state. In the public safety area, we have the Department of Public Safety, but this includes only about half of the functions. The Department of Public Safety is divided into by two different committees, and the transportation functions are in the Transportation Committee. Those would include things like driver and vehicle services, state patrol, capital security, pipeline safety, and things of that nature. We primarily have anything to do with public safety matters of a non-transportation sort of issue. So we have the Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. We have the BCA, or the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the Fire Marshal, Gambling and Alcohol Enforcement, the Office of Justice Programs, Emergency Communication Networks, and Administration and Related Services portions of public safety within the jurisdiction of this committee. Mr. Chair, then we have the Post Board, or the Peace Officers Standards and Trainings Board, which receives money from the licensing of peace officers and money from criminal and traffic surcharges. So most of their funding comes from a special revenue account, and they're in charge of licensing peace officers. We have the Private Detectives Board, and our last agency. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, we have two remaining agencies, the Department of Corrections, which operates all of the correctional facilities, the state correctional facilities for adult male and female offenders, as well as a juvenile facility, and sentencing guidelines, which provides guidelines for judges to uniformly sentence offenders found guilty in our court system. Mr. Chair, that's essentially our list of our accounts.
The one thing in there is that the thank you, Mr. Walsh. One thing in there is the State Patrol, for those of you that are interested in the State Patrol, which we all are, we don't control, I mean, it was mentioned, we don't control their finances, right? They're in the transportation finance.
Mr. Chair, correct. The State Patrol is funded by trunk highway dollars, and so those are under the jurisdiction of the Transportation Committee. And I should also add that members may notice that have been on the committee before, the Department of Human Rights is no longer under the jurisdiction of this committee. That has been moved to state government.
That was kind of an oddball placement anyway. I thought it, nothing against that commission or anything, but I thought they actually should have always been in a different jurisdiction. So when I got the request, I said, sure. So, not that I wasn't anxious to have them and all the controversy that went with them, but no. We had some great discussions about the Human Rights Commission a few years back, especially when we went to cut their budget. It raised a lot of eyebrows, and we had really actually good discussions. And Kevin Lindsay, was that Commissioner Lindsay? Is that his name? He was a pretty good testifier. But anyway, that'll be under, is it Representative Anderson's committee this now? The
Mr. Chair, I'm not actually sure who is chair of state government.
Now, we didn't have a lot of other things to cover today, not realizing the budget overview, it went so quickly. We probably could have had some agencies in here. Representative Hilsner, do you have any specialty areas you wanted to talk about today or concerns, like specialty courts or this or that? Or?
Oh, well, Mr. Chair, I of course care about all the areas, and I'm going to have all sorts of bills, and hopefully they'll be bipartisan, and I do look forward to working with you, Mr. Chair. I do anticipate there will be some controversial bills. Hopefully, if we have a heads up about when they're coming, we can also give you a heads up about which ones might take a little longer. Mr. Chair, we'll do our best to try to have a respectful working relationship.
It's pretty hard to surprise the chair, because if they get to come up sooner or later, and then if they come up, then we can delay them until we get a good look at them. But I know what you mean. There'll be several gun bills of. For everybody's enjoyment this year, I don't know what they'll be yet, but I think there'll be at least three. I don't think anything too far out in the edge. I'm going to nibble a little away at the problems. One interesting thing we had happen yesterday was DPS and the BCA put out a new application for a permit to carry with 18 new questions on it, and under the permit to carry law 624.714 subdivision 3G, I think it was, there's very prescriptive orders giving in the law what you can ask the applicant for a permit to carry. And in this situation, the 18 questions weren't following that real prescriptive descriptions, should say. And so we got a hold of those in charge, and within, I think, an hour after notifying, the communique went out to all the sheriffs and chiefs to pull that form back in, and somebody didn't take a close enough look at it, and so now they're going to go by the old one until the new one can be vetted. So, and then so, because things can happen that quick, so that's the problem with some of the laws we pass. If people don't, they're complicated enough, but people have to take a really close look at them after they leave here. Anything else? Otherwise, we'll probably start out with Mr. Valu. When do we, who's our first victim? I mean, our first testifiers.
Mr. Chairman and members, tomorrow we will be having an overview presentation from the Department of Public Safety.
And that's always an interesting one. Thank you. The State Fire Marshal's Office and everything else that falls under DPS, one by one, the different division leaders or maybe the commissioners will come up and testify in front of us, and generally we'll let him get through. We'll depend on it depends on how we structure our questions. Now, sometimes we stop them in the middle of their presentation and ask questions then, and sometimes we get all the way to the end and have members take notes. So we'll gauge it as we go along. If people look confused, if we're traveling too fast, maybe we'll interrupt them and ask questions. Anything else from our members? If not, then the next meeting we have, usually the order we'll have is we'll take a roll call, and then we'll have to be reminded. I'll have to get my thinking cap back on as to our order, but we'll approve the minutes after the roll call, and then we'll roll right into the meeting. And then probably bills, quick as I suppose next week, we could hear something depending on how we want to structure the overviews. But if we get an easy bill, then I think it's been around enough, or we've covered it before, we can bring it up. So, well, thank you, members, and with that, meeting adjourned till tomorrow.
Thank you.